Lecture topic, pure earnings.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار صدق الله العظيم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkhulu fi silmi kaffa. That O you who believe, O people of Iman, enter into Islam completely. The meaning behind this is that a Muslim is not an individual who in the masjid is a Muslim or on the musalla is a Muslim or when it comes to reciting Quran and making zikrullah is a Muslim. But in reality, what is Deen-e-Islam? جَمِيعُ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The complete 24-hour daily life of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what we refer to as Deen-e-Islam. And in that 24 hours, there is not only aspects of ibadat, time that was spent in the masjid, over tilawat of Quran, over zikrullah, etc. But this human being has needs, has requirements, has necessities that pertain to his life in this world, his earning of his livelihood, etc., his interaction with his family, with his children, his interaction with society. Unfortunately, many of us tend to compartmentalize our understanding of what is Islam, what is Deen, what is Shariat. And we tend to restrict and confine our understanding of Islam to be acts of ibadat and worship. My salah, my zakat, my hajj, my tilawat, my zikrullah, this is for my akhirat. This is for my jannat. And my dealings in the marketplace, my interaction with society, that is for my dunya. This goes against the grain of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ That O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent you but as a mercy for every alam. He was a mercy not just to the 1 billion Muslims in this world. Approximately world population, about 6 billion people. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy to every one of them. However, what is their exposure to Islam and to this legacy of mercy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They don't come to the masjid. They are not allowed in Baytullah. They do not see our tilawat of Quran, our zikrullah, etc. What they are exposed to is the manner in which this Muslim conducts himself in the marketplace, conducts himself in his interaction with other people. In that, we have a great responsibility. That is, we have to bring alive the teachings of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that even the disbeliever understands that the way a Muslim trades, the way a Muslim conducts himself is not like an ordinary person. We are the vicegerents and the representatives of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This idea or concept that my akhirat is only affected by my salah and my zikrullah and my tilawat is incorrect. Definitely. Definitely on your salah, Allah promises jannat. On tilawat of Quran, Allah promises jannat. On zikrullah, Allah promises jannat. In fact, without salah, there is no deen. On one occasion, a delegation of people from Taif, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they said, we are prepared to accept Islam, but we have one condition. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what is your condition? They said, we want to be excused from salah. Everything else we are prepared to accept, but we will not make salah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the mafhum of the hadith, that without salah there is no Islam. I cannot accept such a condition. It is logical. The purpose and object of this human being on the surface of this earth is to make sujood, is to prostrate before Allah. That Allah who has given us everything. Minimum government stipulated wage in this country, Allah knows best, approximately 2,000 to 2,500 rand. An ordinary laborer works in a factory or in an industry. He gets a wage every month, 2,500 to 3,000 rands. And because of that wages that he receives, he allows that employer to some extent certain leniencies over his conduct. Why did you come late? Why have you left early? Why are you tardy? Why didn't you do your job properly? Employer gets upset with him. Sometimes he takes off with him. He allows all that. He tolerates all that. Why? Because of the wage that this man is paying him, that 3,000 or 3,500 rand at the end of the month. If we have to look at the ni'mats and the bounties which Allah has blessed us with, what price tag are we going to put on the bounties of Allah? Just these eyes. Occasion of Jummah is too limited to go into detail. But just these eyes, it is said 1 millimeter of the eye can accept 30,000 separate points of light in 1 second. These eyes are taking 10 three-dimensional pictures every second, 800,000 pictures every day. There's no camera that can do that. In each eye, receptors for light, Allah Ta'ala has kept 130 million receptors for light in each eye. In layman's terms, understand it, light bulbs. 130 million light bulbs in each eye. We are worried about the hike in the electricity tariff. Eskom is putting the price up, this problem, that problem. Someone said the other day, ANC stands for another night in candlelight. These are things that concern us. We don't pay the light bill for 1 month. What will happen? They'll come and cut it off. Why you didn't pay? Allah has given 130 million light bulbs in each eye. The entire day is spent looking at the daughters of others, breaking the commands of Allah. Yet Allah does not switch off the light bulbs. If one person had to become the owner of the entire world, and he had to go into the marketplace with millions and billions of dollars. Let him try and purchase one eye. Employ the scientists of the world with the latest technological equipment, the best laboratories at their disposal, and ask them to manufacture one eye for you. With billions and billions of dollars, Qiyamah will come, forget one eye. They won't manufacture 1 millimeter of an eye for you. What price tag are you going to put on the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah? That is why Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-jafa, kull al-jafa, wal-kufru wal-nifaq, man sami'a munadi Allah, falam yujibhu, o kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, zalim, sabse bara zalim, the greatest zalim and oppressor is who? Our understanding, your concept of what is zulm, is that person who fraudulently deals with others, or does somebody down, or is a highway robber, or is a rapist. That is zulm. But what is the greatest zulm? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the greatest zalim is that person who hears the azan and fails to come to the masjid. Allah's caller has called you. That call is falling on deaf ears. Who gave you the ears to hear with? Who gave you the eyes to see? So the purpose and object of this insan is the service of Allah, and that is demonstrated in salah. But coming back to what you were saying in the beginning, my respected brothers, aspects of ibadat or worship only is not our shariat and our deen, but our shariat and deen addresses the entire 24-hour daily life of this Muslim. Every morning millions of people converge on the places of domestic enterprise. People are going to work, some are laborers, some are employers. An entire day of effort to earn livelihood. The question we have to ask ourselves on such an important aspect of our lives, is our shariat silent? The laborer leaves the factory in the evening tired, he goes home. He's got his wages in his pocket. In the sight of Allah, in the sight of Allah, is he getting anything? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man amsa kallan bi amali yadihi amsa maghfuran lahu." O kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, that person who in the evening after an entire day's labor, tired, goes home, what is my Allah giving him? Provided there were two things in his earning. One, sachai, he was truthful. The other is diyanatdari, he was trustworthy. He didn't do anybody down. And that employment did not stop him from the faraiz of deen. Then what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Amsa maghfuran lahu. He returns home at the end of that day with all his sins forgiven. Allah makes his maghfirat for one day's labor. Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion, he was sitting in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of toiling in the fields, his hands had become marked, emaciated. The signs of his labor were evident on his hands. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his hands, saw the marks on his finger, saw the marks. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught hold of his hands and asked him, Saad, where did these marks come from? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I used to work on the fields, till the fields barehanded, as a result of which these marks came on my hand. What does the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He takes the hands of the Sahabi, places his Mubarak lips on the marks, kisses the hands of Saad, and says to him that those hands which have become like this because of toiling to put halal sustenance, halal rozi and rizq in front of your little children, Allah has made the fire of Jahannam haram on such hands. Allah has made Jahannam haram on such hands. Jannat, everyone desires Jannat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Innaha jinan." It's not only one jannat. There are many jannats. Wa innal firdaus al a'la. The highest jannat is jannatul firdaus. That is that jannat. Khalaqal firdaus biyadihi. Khalaqal firdaus biyadihi. Allah created jannatul firdaus with his own hands. One riwayat, it comes on the day of judgment. Allah will command the angels, itini bi hadiratil quds. Bring hadiratil quds. Angels will wonder, they will ask, what is hadiratul quds? Allah will say, hadiratul quds is jannatul firdaus. That jannat which Allah created with his own hands. No Nabi has seen it, no angel has seen it. A seal was placed open over it. On that day it will be opened up. Such a jannat. In Jannatul Firdaus, there is one VIP Jannat in Firdaus. One special Jannat in Firdaus. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said three categories of people will enter into that Jannat. First category, that ruler, that hakim, he had power, he had wealth, but he was just. He did not oppress the people. Allah will give him that VIP Jannat in Firdaus. The second category, that person whose relatives dealt oppressively with him. His family members did him down, but instead of demanding his rights and fighting with them, He accepted their oppression and he dealt kindly with them. He overlooked their wrongs. Allah will give him that jannat. And the third category of person is that laborer. That laborer who had little children, had a lot of dependents. His children went hungry. He sufficed with very little in this world. He toiled throughout his entire life, but he did not lie. He did not cheat. He did not do anyone down. Allah will give him a maqam and a status greater than the awliya will get. The Qutb and the Abdal, that rank they won't get that an ordinary laborer will get, who remained firm upon the Shariat whilst his family members went hungry. Our earning, our livelihood, my respected brothers, this is not something our Shariat is silent on. This is also ibadat. This is also a means of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day hours and hours are spent in the places of commercial enterprise. We are not going there just to earn this dunya. Our niyat is to change. We have to become the representatives of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For you in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most perfect example. Like salah away from the pattern of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not salah. Like zakat away from his pattern is not zakat. Any amal of deen moved away from the pattern of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never be accepted in the court of Allah. In exactly the same way, understand, if our weddings are not in his pattern, if our business is not in his pattern, if our daily conduct is not in the pattern of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that also will be rejected in Allah's court. The whole world may call you an astute businessman. They may say, look at him. He knows how to strike the deal. Look at his business acumen. People may look up to him. But in Allah's court, in the sight of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is he a businessman? Has Allah regarded him to be a businessman? What is meant by that? That business, is it earning him akhirat? Is it earning him jannat? Oh Allah, protect us. Is it earning him jahannam? That choice is given to us on a daily basis. We have to ask ourselves, am I a businessman or am I a Muslim businessman? Sometimes you meet somebody, he gets upset with you. Why didn't you greet me? Why didn't you make salam? Now, how do you explain to the person, by head to toe, there's no nishani on you. There's no indication that you are a Muslim. How must I know that you are a Muslim? We have different ways by which we recognize one another, different means of pehchan. What he says sometimes, can't you see my car got 786 number plate? Or my cell phone number, I got 786, so I'm a Muslim. One is the way we recognize one another. In Allah's court, are you a Muslim businessman or not? Just one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Abad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned five things. The occasion of Jummah, as I mentioned earlier, is too limited to go into details. But very briefly, just to give us some idea, I am a businessman, I am a factory worker, I am a laborer, I am earning for my family. Is my earning getting me Jannat or Jahannam? In the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am I a Muslim businessman or am I not? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned. He said, Inna tujjar yub'athuna yawm al-qiyamati fujjara. He said, majority of the businessmen of my ummah will be raised as fajir and fasiq on the day of judgment. Inna atyab al kasbi kasbut tujjar. He said, the purest earning is the earning of that businessman, as I mentioned earlier. First condition, his business is not an obstacle to his salah. His livelihood and his job is not an obstacle to the faraiz of deen. And with that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the purest earning is the earning of that businessman. Five things he mentioned. Idha haddathu lam yakdhibu. وَإِذَا وَعَدُوا لَمْ يُخْلِفُوا وَإِذَا أْتُمِنُوا لَمْ يَخَانُوا وَإِذَا بَاعُوا لَمْ يَمْدَحُوا وَإِذَا اشْتَرَوْا لَمْ يَذُمُّوا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. First condition, will Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regard me to be a businessman? In Allah's court is my tijarat earning me reward. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the purest earning is the earning of that businessman. First condition, when he speaks, he does not lie. When he opens his mouth in the marketplace, it is with the truth, it is not with falsehood. Allah forgive us, more than 90% of us already at this first juncture, at this first obstacle have already failed. One occasion Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered the marketplace of Madinah Munawwara. One person was selling wheat. He had the wheat in a barrel. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his hand inside till it went to the bottom. The wheat in the bottom was wet, the top one was dry. In other words, the bottom one was inferior, that was hidden, and the superior one was on top. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remonstrated with him, فَهَلَّا جَعَلْتَهُ فَوْقَ الطَّعَامِ. Why didn't you put the wet one on top? حَتَّى يَرَاهُ النَّاسِ, so the people could see. This man, what he said, أَصَابَتْهُ السَّمَاءِ. Last night it rained, some of it got wet. No problem, why didn't you put the defective one on top? And then what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Man ghashana falaysa minna. The one who deceives us is not from the ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Man ghashana falaysa minna. Once Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu passes by a person. This person is selling milk. In order to increase the volume of the milk, he has added water. So the milk looks inferior. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, seeing this, he advises him, he says, Oh my brother, why don't you realize a day is coming? A day is coming. You will be made to stand in front of Allah. What is going to happen on that day? When the angels of Allah with long whips in their hands will come to you. They will raise up those whips and they will say, Abu Huraira says to him, كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ خَلِّسِ الْمَاءَ مِنَ اللَّبَنِ. Separate the water from the milk. Separate the water from the milk. Reveal your injustice. He says, what about that day? In this dunya you can get away, you can lie, you can cheat. You may be able to usurp and do others down. But this is not the be all and the end all. Another day is coming. On one occasion, Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith. I mentioned this example many times before. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Thalathatun, la yukallimuhumullah, wa la yanzuru ilayhim yawm al-qiyamah, wa la yuzakkihim, wa lahum azabun aleem. He said, there are three categories of people. Allah will not speak to them on the day of judgment. Allah will not look at them with mercy. Allah will not purify them. They will be in a terrible punishment. I'm repeating the hadith. Three categories. Allah will not speak to them. Allah will not purify them. Allah will not look at them with mercy. They will be in a terrible punishment. When Sahaba heard this, when Abu Zar Ghifari heard this, he says, Khabu wa khasiru, khabu wa khasiru. These people are damned, they are destroyed. Who are they? Manhum. Manhum. Before I mention the three categories, this example we always give. A doctor, medical science, no matter how exact the doctors would like to convince us it is not an exact science. Show the same symptoms, go to five different doctors, you'll get five different opinions. Submit the same blood to five different laboratories, you get five variations. Why? Because the science is not exact. Shafi is Allah, the one who gives cure is Allah. The doctor tries with what is at his disposal. Obviously, he cannot reveal the defect in his science, because how is he going to justify his bill? Like very often, like one person who comes with us in Jamaat, he gives his example. He says one person went to the doctor. Next day he phones up the doctor. He says, doctor, I'm walking. So the doctor says, I told you, I know my medicine. I'll get you to walk. He says, when I got your bill, I had to sell my car. I was forced to walk. So obviously a doctor is not going to tell you the deficiencies in his science. But it is a defective science. Now based on his defective science, defective instrument, defective knowledge, He tells a big Seth Saab, that Seth Saab, you've got diabetes, stay away from sweet food. That Seth Saab, that luscious sweet cake is in front of him. When he looks at it, he's salivating. What does he do? Is he able to stay away from it? He's worried. Even if he picks up that piece of cake, what he'll do is increase his dosage of insulin. Why? My doctor told me. So that what that doctor has told him will affect his actions. This is Sadiqul Masduq, Sadiqul Masduq. The seven heavens and the seven earths can come to an end. Not one word of lie passed through his Mubarak's lips. He says, three categories of people, Allah will not speak to you. What will be our halat on that day if Allah doesn't speak to us? You will face a terrible punishment. What are the three categories? He said, Al-Mannan. That ihsan, what they say in Urdu, ihsan jatane wala. Ihsan jatane wala. The one who does a good turn for someone and then he never ever lets him forget about it. Remember that time I helped you out, I sorted your problem out, I was there for you. For his whole life he'll have to hear. Second category, Al-Musbil, that person whose clothing hangs beneath his ankles. Third category, pertinent to what we are discussing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Munafiq sil'atahu bil halifil kadhib, that person who will use false oaths to sell his goods. Allah's qasam, wallahi, my price you won't get anywhere. Goods like this you won't find anywhere else. Lie upon lie upon lie. Oath upon oath upon oath. Only object is I must do the sale. Man ba'ayban lam yubayyinhu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that person who sells defective goods with the intention of doing his customer down. We are thinking I'm earning rands and dollars. We are thinking my bank balance is going up, but what are we earning? Lam yazal fi maqatillah. This person will perpetually be in the anger of Allah. Walam tazalil malaikatu tal'anuhu. And the angels of Allah will perpetually be cursing him. We thinking we are earning rands and dollars, we are earning the anger of Allah. We are earning the curse of the malaika. Our rozi, our risk, our sustenance is muqaddar. It is ordained. Whether you work 10 hours, 12 hours, or 24 hours, by the qasam of my Allah, you will not get one penny more or one penny less than Allah has already ordained for you. Inna atyabal kasbi, kasbut tujjar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the purest earning is the earning of that businessman who when he speaks, he does not lie. When he makes a promise, like a lot of times when it's time to do the deal, then the guy is a sheep. Talking sweetly to you. All sorts of promises. Promissory note signed. PDCs issued. All sorts of promises are made. And when the time for delivery comes, then the same sheep becomes a wolf. Then he doesn't want to take your calls. Then the checks are bouncing. Then he speaks harshly and arrogantly to you. Then he wants to take you to court. In this dunya we can get away, my respected brothers. What about the court of Allah? Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala who said, that other sahaba generally used to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the good. I used to ask him about the evil that will happen because I wanted to protect myself from it. One day we were sitting in a discussion with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I asked him about the evil of the future, the mafhum, the crux of the hadith. There's no time to go into the details. He said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first thing that will be lifted up from my ummah will be amanat dari, trustworthiness. To such an extent that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time will come when it will be said, in certain country, in certain city, in certain village, in certain street, there is one amanat dar person. Amanat dari will become so rare that in one corner of the globe there will be one amanat dar person. That is the mafhum of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tijarat and business is a source of great reward. But my respected brothers, we have to endeavor to inculcate within ourselves these qualities which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. Indonesia today is one of the most populous Muslim countries in the world, more than 200 million Muslims. Few years ago, when our Jamaat went there, we asked the people about the history of how Islam came to that country. They said a few businessmen came, Muslim businessmen came to Indonesia. The manner in which they conducted their business became the means of that country entering to Islam. Today it is the most populous Muslim country on the surface of the earth. How many people who have talab for Islam today are put off by the manner in which we conduct ourselves? Pick up any newspaper, the wrongs, the treachery, the big deceit and fraud, who is behind it? One is, my respected brothers, the loss that we are incurring in akhirat, greater than that, what is the image that we are portraying of Islam in the minds and the hearts of other people? With our staff, with our laborers, how do we conduct ourselves? Do we pay them a decent wage? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu anha, أحب المساكين وقربيهم فإن الله يقربك يوم القيامة. Aisha, love the poor people. Become close to the poor people. Help them. If you will do this, Allah will grant you His closeness on the Day of Judgment. إن أطيب التجار إن أطيب الكسب كسب التجار. To complete the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the purest earning is the earning of that businessman. When he speaks, he does not lie. When he makes the promise, he doesn't break his promise. When he is amanatdar, he is trustworthy. And when he is selling his goods, he does not praise his goods. And when he is purchasing from the next person, he does not demean and run down the value of those goods. Because a lot of times, we get into this habit, we'll pick on faults that are not even there. What is the object to bring the price down? Understand, my respected brothers, I mentioned it before, I'm mentioning it again. Our earning is not how much of rands and dollars you have acquired at the end of the day. That is your risk that is coming from the heavens, that is coming on Allah's command. What you are going to earn is already written down. The real earning is how you conduct yourself. How you conduct yourself in the marketplace. Either through your business, you are going closer to Jannat, or through your business, you are going closer towards Jahannam. That is the real earning. This effort, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made on Sahaba-i Kiram. They made their businesses a means of them earning akhirat. And people came closer towards Islam when they saw the conduct of Sahaba-i Kiram. One very brief incident, on this I will terminate. Once there was drought in Medina Munawwara, Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a well-known businessman of Medina. Everybody was waiting for Usman's shipment to come. 1,000 camels laden with goods. All the wholesalers had lined up. Now a mini auction is taking place. There's drought in Medina. Usman says, how much profit will you give me? Someone said 10%. Someone said 15%. Someone said 20%. Someone said 30%. Usman rejected all these offers. He says, I have a better offer. Finally, they got exasperated. They said, Usman, what offer have you got? He said, someone has offered me 1,000% profit. 1,000% profit. They said, who is this? We can't match that offer. He said, my Allah has said, man ja'a bil hasanati, falahu ashru amthaliha. The one who comes with one deed, Allah will give him, one good deed, Allah will give him 10 times the reward. There is drought in Medina. People are poor. People are hungry. All these goods are sadaqah in the path of Allah. That night, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu sees a dream. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mounted on his white stallion, handsome. Ibn Abbas says, ya Rasulullah, we were looking for you, we haven't met you from such a long time. Ibn Abbas, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Ibn Abbas, I am rushing. Where are you rushing to? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in recognition of the sadaqah of Usman, Allah made his nikah with one hoor in Jannat, and all the anbiya have been invited to the walima of that nikah. I am going to the walima of Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Like this, there are many incidents. As I mentioned, time is limited. The crux, my respected brothers, At-tajiru as-saduqul ameen, ma'an nabiyyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the truthful, trustworthy businessman of my ummah, Allah will raise him with the anbiya. This business of ours, whether we are a labor or an employer, Our zariya-e maash, our means of livelihood, is a source of great reward in the hereafter. But we have to inculcate within ourselves the sifat and the qualities that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.